You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. Thank you all so much for being with us this week. We really, really appreciate it, and we hope you have a good time on the show. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the paper cut on your finger to my paper cut on the corner of your mouth. My
dear friend. Both suck.
They're both bad. Yeah. I think that I would much prefer to have the one on my hand versus the one on the soft moist tissue of the corner of my mouth.
Yeah.
Andy, we got a great show. It's 7:15 p.m. We're on those like early evening vibes this week. A special episode, at least for the members of this crew, including our silent partner Nate, who's joining us and making the sound happen this week. But we have our friends Height Keech and Mister, who we've had on the past. They're on tour from Detroit and Baltimore, respectively. And with them this time was iLive, who is from Philly. We talked about what they're doing on their new tour, all the interweaving of their projects, we had some giggles with some great music. Would you agree? Yeah.
I would agree with all of those statements.
Okay, I'm glad. I'm glad we have consensus. And the vote is in that we are unanimous that you're going to have a good time on this week's episode of Hot Garbage. Be sure to check out each of the artists' website. We mentioned them at the end of the show because they're very great about their social media presence. You can find where they're at on tour and check their music out via Bandcamp. We suggest you do. So here's
we
our interview
want you
with
to do all those things.
The fantastic Height Keech, Mister, and iLive. Enjoy this week's episode of Hot Garbage. So, okay, before we get too deep here, for the benefit of our listeners, let's go around one at a time and have you guys introduce yourselves so everyone can, you know, feel comfortable with your voice and pick you out of a lineup.
Yeah, sure. Should we start here?
Yeah.
All right, I'm iLive. I'm Donovan. I'm from Philly, representing Cold Rhyme Records.
All right.
Yeah.
Height Keech from Baltimore, Maryland. Doing my thing. My second appearance on the podcast.
Yeah. Officially now a friend of the podcast if you come back twice, especially cross country.
Yeah. I'm Mr. Detroit, Michigan, official friend of the podcast.
Official friend. Yeah. Sound too. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys carving out some time on tour to step into the garage with us again.
Thanks for having us.
Three of the politest, most understated rappers in the game, I would have to imagine. How are things going? The last time you guys were on the road, you were doing a kind of a really unique format. Tell us a little bit about this tour and how it's been going so far.
Well, it's called the Computer Rocker Tour because that's my new album, which was recorded by iLive, and lyrically it's Mister and I together.
Oh, perfect.
The rhymes.
Came out in April 2018. People can grab it on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
We encourage them to do so.
Oh, thanks. But yeah, so it seemed only natural to tour like this, you know.
It's kind of like a band, really.
Yeah.
Instead of like three separate artists, there's like you guys are fused by this project. So it's like a hip hop band.
Totally. Definitely.
Yeah, I was thinking a lot about these E40 albums. Like
as you do.
Yeah. Yeah. And like how like Be Legit is kind of like a member of the band, you know, you just feel like he's there even when he's not doing
absolutely
his parts or something. And I felt like that's how it should be with Mister on the album.
Do you have a favorite E40 cut?
I think and now they got me spitting on the microphone.
Oh, that's really good. I like Sprinkle Me, Man. Oh man, that's good. And the E40 track that hooked me is I Got My Cup. I Got My Plastic Cup. You guys know that song?
Yeah.
Oh, that one is just ridiculous.
I'm woefully underinformed when it comes to E40. Yeah.
No one sounds like E40, and no one ever will.
That's right.
That's his thing.
Mister, last time you were with us, you were with Pass L'Acqua talking about that project.
Yeah,
tell us a little bit about you going solo and what that's like.
Well, I've been doing the solo before the Pass L'Acqua stuff. And then, the Pass L'Acqua started 2011, and that was like the major focus. But now I'm just going back to the solo stuff and working on a solo album now, doing a lot of collaborations. And then when Height brought it up about, hey, I'm thinking about having you as a, you know, a feature on a scene of the project. I was really, really stoked because transitioning back from like doing stuff with a group to solo work is tough because you're kind of starting from the ground up.
Sure.
We did a, you know, like put in years and years of work on a separate project. And then when you're like, this is one half of it. And then people are like, I don't see the correlation. Like, I don't get it. So it's kind of you know, getting back into people's faces. Also, I feel like the Mr. Performance is slightly different. I do a lot more banter. I tend to like just talk more than the songs. Like if I could, I just go up and just be like maybe a verse, and then the rest would just be like kind of
talking. It's like a one man show, is what you're saying. It's like a one man play.
Word play.
Ooh, I love it. Can we drop
setless
some
word
sort
play.
Of explosion there? Yeah, and I think like in Detroit too, especially you want to do something. There's a lot of pressure to be. You have to be on top of your game. So I feel like my lane seems to be just like talking with people during the set, and people seem to enjoy it.
In your mind, as you can kind of think of yourself separately as an independent artist and then as a part of a group, what's the biggest difference you would point out to people between like your kind of creative style as a solo artist and your creative style as part of a team?
That's good. I think, you know, the solo stuff, I kind of just go all over the place, and it's very interesting, like working with somebody else, you feed off of their energy, and so that results in a whole new being. But I'm just by myself, so it's just kind of what bounces off the walls and comes back to me. So that's, I'm only working with my own energy, so it's a different, I feel like it's a little more erratic. I don't know if that's right.
Yeah.
You know, like I tend to just get very in my own thoughts, and it becomes this sort of ball of rap.
Yeah.
Do you have trouble keeping yourself on track when there's no one to be accountable to?
Yeah. Yeah. I have, yeah. It's like sometimes, because I mean, when it's just you, you can just be, you know, I'm always juggling a bunch of jobs and shit. So sometimes it's just hard to, make sure that you, make the time for it. So.
I would just imagine myself having like a notebooks and notebooks of stuff that is unfinished, like, you know, like 7 bars here instead of 8 for a verse or something like that. And it would just be perpetually this.
And
it's
just like,
chain.
I got that 8th bar to do, but it's
and I don't
know.
Yeah.
Not feeling it.
Yeah, and the last word is more from the last lot. I got so many options, but nothing. Didn't just walk
away.
A
bevy of options.
Yeah, just wouldn't even finish it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, iLive, thank you for being on the show for the first time. I'm sure we'll see you again. So you're from Philadelphia.
From Philadelphia.
And you did production on the Future Computer,
Computer Rocker.
Yeah,
I just did the recording of the album.
Oh, just did okay.
And I was just the man in the wing with some engineering, help, if you will, just let's talk it out. You know, engineering can bog you down, but I was just helping hype man with some of the mixing,
okay,
remotely.
Man, I gotta ask you,
being
from Philly, whenever anyone says that, in my head, all I would hear is "born and raised on the playground" is where I spent most of my days. Every single time I hear,
I've never heard that in my life.
Oh my god, that's all I can hear. I'm sure that's super funny for people in Philadelphia. I love it.
Yeah.
So then, are you an artist as well, like a performer?
Yeah,
well?
Yeah. I do production and I rap as well.
Nice.
I've been doing some solo sets on the tour, and then coming in and forming like Voltron as the Computer Rocker band. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's been great.
Well, we're talking about kids rapping. What's the first thing you remember about rapping? What's the first rap performance that you remember?
Rap performance?
Of yours, like your first show
or
how did it get started?
I started going to like my like old head, if you will, Mighty Flipside. Shout out Electric City. He would host these events and always put on he did like a 11-year running monthly event in Philly on like first Fridays of the month called Hip Hop Lives, and he would often incorporate a band, and then at the end of the night the band would just jam and all the MCs in the house would get on stage, and you kind of
just, that's
like,
awesome.
You have to be able to hold your own. So I like kind of started doing that and just being involved, but
it's like open mics for comedians. You got to get up there and
just
kind of stretch those muscles.
Totally, totally.
Did you eat shit the first time you went up there, or did you kill it?
I feel like I feel like I killed it the first time and then ate shit for a long time after that. You know?
Nice. The first time, you're like, I got it. And then the next one is like, oh, maybe I don't have it. Yeah.
You got the element of surprise that first time. People expect nothing. And if you can do anything, you blow them away.
Yeah.
But it's better, I would think, if you ate shit that first time, maybe you wouldn't do it. You got to get that early high, and then you can eat all your shit sandwiches for a couple years.
Have a lot of them.
Tough skin.
How long did it take before you're like, okay, now I'm back to getting it through the shit storm?
I feel like just like starting to do more shows at that point. Kind of just seeing how he was putting on shows and trying to get on where I could and just building slowly. But I feel like I wouldn't bite off too much. You know, just do a short set, a couple songs. But it was sparse. So a couple years, I'd say like 5 years maybe.
Yeah. And not overdoing it, just kind of easing your way in. I appreciate that approach because then you don't wear anybody out. And yeah, I like it. Yeah. Well, I know you guys brought some music to play. How would you like to kick things off? It's Dealer's Choice. So, you got something in mind?
Yeah. How do we do it?
Well, you just can tell us about the song, and we are just gonna kick it, and the people at home are gonna be listening to it when we edit it in.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Do you want to start off with something from the new album?
Oh yeah. Let's do a Mr. and Hype track from the new album. This is Zen on 10.
All right, let's check it out.
The sad streets where the swamp and the edge of the town meet. Saw the dead skull, heard a heartbeat. Sad song spun round to the damn beat. Now the crash looms and the doom grows, but the mind still shines when the moon glows. Got a head rest, hit the deep freeze. Now it's part five, dive in the deep sea. Zen on 10, Zen on 10. If the storm comes, get your head clean, get your soul bright. Do the hard slog jog through the whole night. Let the dream talk, let it burn hot. Do the cool hurt, do the mic wide. Gotta raise up, gotta break brains. Gotta blast new blood into these veins. Zen on 10, Zen on 10. Zen on 10, Zen on 10.
Foundation is uprooted. Damn shame, but in that case, who better suited to redefine the cues? Can't fully compute it. Raw, blinding all opposition like a great mooter. Blue in the face, proving your place. Let it be known. Out with the old, moving on to a new day. On high bend, seeing it all in a new way. Bald eagle bullseye, shitting on your toupees. Yeah.
Zen on 10, Zen on 10.
So that was a hot jam.
Thanks.
Yes. Thanks.
It was a hot one. So I was looking at your Bandcamp page and like looking back at your like catalog. It is a deep catalog. You have a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah.
What's the most exciting thing about this new release and where you're at right now?
Well, I'm really excited about the last two releases because like I put out one last year called Mind Moves the Mountain. And both of them, and it's weird. They're kind of my first that I'm producing myself. Like I've done albums I've produced before, but it would more be like me like playing guitar and bass and chopping it up.
Yeah.
And there were some that were like old school themed, so it's like super old school classic breaks that I'm rapping over and stuff. But these new ones are my first one where I'm finding my own style as like a sample based producer.
Interesting.
You know?
That's cool.
So, and I'm real excited with how it's going. Like
What made you want to pursue that? Why the change now? Over the last two.
You know, that's a really good question. I think just I always wanted to, and I was like you said, I've been putting out albums for a long time, and I think among the original people that I came up with and was working with, I was maybe the least savvy with like sampling and stuff like that, and I don't know, I always kind of like worked around that I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
But
you let it be an impediment and just figured it out.
Yeah.
And you can blast through.
And you know, it's there was a dude named Shields that produced most of my first three records. And for example, like his sample source was his main thing was always like garage and psychedelic stuff. And I always loved that sound, you know, and like that was something where I started to be like, I feel like I could just do this. I miss his like approach, and it's like I feel like I could kind of like pick up where he left off, you know?
Right. So that was like a good connection, and you'd like to just be able to kind of replicate that style.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Totally. And
And what's the worst thing you've eaten on tour so far?
Oh, shoot, what would that be? Have we had anything really bad?
You've been keeping it pretty safe?
Oh, no disrespect, but like, I think that thing you
but
got...
But McDonald's, come on.
I think that thing, the twin, what was it called, Twin Ding?
Oh, the Twin Bing.
Twin Bing.
Twin Bing.
We're feeling it.
Yeah.
What's the Twin Bing?
I pretended I was feeling it at the time, but like, if we're going to... be real with it.
I like to like just try new like or like regional candies and chocolates and stuff. It's just sure. Like, well, what is this? It's new and exciting. Just
what's the
even
Twin Bing?
Just chocolate. I don't know.
The so two cherries?
It was in Montana, I think, is where I got it, and it was oh.
You as soon as you said, it just occurred to me.
Yeah.
That we never thought Twin Bing and being a cherry thing because it was like a outside chocolate with almost like a Nestle Crunch style. Crispiness, right?
Yeah.
But when you bit into it, it was like pink, red,
marshmallow.
Unidentifiable goo, right?
Was that about right?
No, it was more like a marshmallow in there.
Okay, it was a little mallowy.
That sounds delicious, actually.
I enjoyed it. I wasn't feeling
conceptually.
I mean, objectively, I wasn't feeling it. I was feeling like the concept. You know, I was riding with you at the time.
It tasted like shit, but it conceptually awesome.
And actually, even maybe the worst was the Big Hunk bar.
Big Hunk was
the Big Hunk. I know exactly what you're talking
you
about.
Know the
it
Big kinda, Hunk?
It looks like it's from another time.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
There's a whole line of candy like that. There's also this thing called the Idaho Spud that's basically marshmallow covered in like chocolate and
got
like
down with
coconut.
The Spud.
Yeah, we had the Spud. Yeah.
And then there's
Spud
also the Rocky Road.
Saw it. Didn't get it.
Not good. Neither of these are worth your time.
Okay, awesome.
I gotta tell you,
they're both marshmallow based.
Well, they just look like they're like an old timey looking candy, and I only see them out here, around this area. I'm sure they're everywhere, but I just never noticed them before. But they're not great.
I'm from the Midwest, but like I feel like I'm from Indiana, and there's like there's nothing unique about Indiana. They just really want they're like the chameleon for the most mainstream everything. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like there was a regional Indiana candy bar that I can point to.
Yeah.
Like not even like a race car themed, I don't know, something.
Can you imagine like a
missed
Mark
opportunity.
Martin like nougat bar? That'd be so fire. I'd buy a whole box.
Yeah.
An Indy Racer bar. Yeah, you guys would tear that shit up. But
or
no,
like
nothing
like Gary Indiana themed baby Ruth.
The trash can fire.
Yeah, which is like
from Gary.
Gross.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you guys have been keeping it pretty wholesome. You know, those are tight quarters and
trying.
Now, how long is the total tour? How many days is it when it's all said and done?
It's going to basically be 3 months with like 8 to 10 days, 10-day breaks that happen twice.
Okay. So, oh, man, that's a pretty awesome chunk of time, like just to have like 3 creative months and some breaks built in. That's pretty satisfying.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about how just like... what a like pleasure it is just to have a time where like you basically just think about music all day and
right.
all night.
Yeah.
Like even like, you know, in the car we just get these mix CDs going, these Spotify mixes. We talk about music, show up, watch other people play music, play our music, and it's tight, you know.
Well, that does lead me to another question, but I think we should play some music.
Cool.
So what's the next jam you guys like to kick?
All right, I'm going to pass it over because I was just on Spotify, but there is a song that iLive is doing during his set called Teen Wolf.
Let's go.
And I really like this track, and it's really cool. One of my favorite things on touring is seeing a group of people that have never seen, like, a friend of mine perform before, and seeing, like, the joy, like, just that sudden burst. And, like, the set is going, like, it's just like the set keeps building up, and at this point, and then breaks it down. He's like, well, talk about what Teen Wolf is about.
Oh, yeah.
I hope
it's
about basketball, but I suspect it's not.
I mean, it's basically a synopsis of Michael J. Fox's greatest film, Teen Wolf.
Yeah, good. Nice.
It's just, it's off the project Time Wave Zero that I did with Height, and he produced that whole thing. And I just remember it was like one of the first batch of beats he sent, and I'd burn them to a CD and put them in my car on the way to work. I'm driving, just like, oh, I hear this beat, and I just like envision, you know, like Styles or Scott up on the roof of the van, you know, driving around town. Yeah. It just felt like that. I was like, oh, I just got to do it. And so I didn't intend to initially, but I was like, maybe I'll just like play off of this. And then it was just like, all right, well, I just like, basically, it's like, spoiler alert, here's the movie on as a song.
So pause, watch Teen Wolf, and then check this out.
There you go. Yeah.
Let's give it a listen. Yeah. I can't wait.
Surf USA, I'm driving the van like Ube Bay. My man got the shades in Belumont State. Kalu with Pam be my prime date. Damn, but ain't no chance, gotta do more to win her romance. Ain't got no plans, b-ball team ain't got no fans. So I'm a wolf out, wolf up, be a teenage werewolf and pull up. I'm a teen wolf, feels so good and cool to be a teen wolf. Now I got skills, my werewolf power gonna pay the bills. Yeah, whole effing show, werewolf merch gonna make the dough. Yo, Styles, I sniff the stash. My best friend, Movement, she up my ass. Whole damn team carry on my back. 5 for 5, slam dunk, crash. Break the backboard, take a back and forth. My layup's magical, around the back I'm cool. I can break dance too, party so hard and I lost my view. Handstand on top of the van and with my werewolf looks, I scoop Pam. Yeah, you put me in the play too. Werewolf fever gonna come and save you. Gonna be the wolf forever. But my friends say no, we used to like it better. So I'm a wolf out, wolf up. Be a teenage werewolf and pull up. I'm a teen wolf. Feel so good and cool to be a teen wolf. Wolf gave me grit. Gave me the chance to be confident. Yeah, but I see it now. They don't like me unless the teen wolf's out. See who my friends are. Pam is whack, man. Boof's the real star. Moral of the story, be yourself, wolves within you, so give them help.
Mm-hmm. So, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was a great one. And it's kind of a jam, too, you know? It's not just like, you know, you didn't cut any corners there. You get the whole movie and you get to kind of move a little bit.
I tried to. Oh, yeah, totally. It's a family affair.
Yeah, it's like not like a parody song. It's like a real song.
Right.
Oh, man, you guys. I got some new furniture, and I put my couch out on my magical curb.
Yeah.
Everything that hits that curb is gone in an hour. Doesn't matter what you put out there. Mm-hmm. I put out, well, not exactly an hour, sometimes. I put out a stack of broken chairs. It took a week, but they all disappeared, except for just a couple pieces of one.
The couch you put to the curb was like...
But the couch...
It's sittable.
Been there. Yeah. I put it out, and like... 2 hours later, someone was sleeping on it. They're just like, oh, cool.
Oh, this just like where spot. You left it?
Yeah, right in front of my house.
Street cash.
Were they test driving it?
Yeah.
Or they just rent it?
Let's see if that's I can get I this thought. Nap in, really feel like if this can be mine.
I need to know if I can put 4 hours in consecutively on this bed before I take anything off a curb.
On a much sadder note, I think it was a guy that was ODing or drug sick, and someone was taking care of him, and they needed to take a nap somewhere, and I was really scared that dude was going to die. But then he got up. Shook it off, walked around a circle about 5-6 times, and then just walked in one of those directions, and that was
the
cool.
The nap wasn't satisfying.
No, but my couch has been just
bad people, advertisement for that couch.
He's not the last person. Like, people just keep rolling up and sleeping on my couch.
Man,
I gotta make that thing disappear.
Do you think that thing instantly stinks?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, somebody took the cover. It had a cover on it. That's gone. The cover's gone.
Is it like huge? Like, so people can't take it?
It's just a normal couch. Right. It just got rained on today a little bit too. So that's bad.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking I need to take it to the dump, and all my neighbors hate me because I've
What you should do
made,
is
like,
you
this
should
cool chill spot on the corner.
Sure. You should cover it in chia seeds and like hose it down.
Oh yeah.
So it becomes like a couch shaped bush over time.
We had
what couch?
I grew up in Rockford, Michigan, and we had this little skate park that the city granted us because they didn't like us scaring all the old people while skating downtown in their little quaint town. It was a funny thing. They heard that we were into street skating, so they just built a street, and it was like a sidewalk and an actual
like
asphalt
a movie lot
road
for skating in.
And then they put a couple of little bumps on the end, and that's what they gave us. I mean, they tried, but it was pretty crazy. But we had a couch there that was just there, and it got wet, and there was somebody had weed like fall out of their pocket or something, and there was weed growing out of it.
What?
Like weed sprouted out of the couch.
Whoa.
And the cops came and took the couch away.
That's how you get rid of this one in your curb.
Yeah. Do I need to plant weed in this couch?
Yeah. Then the neighborhood will make it an issue, and they'll take it.
Yeah, somebody will take it. If there's weed growing out of that couch, it'll be gone in like 15 minutes.
Did John Hughes write your childhood?
I wish.
That's amazing.
Smoke that couch.
Yeah.
Andy, speaking of smoking couches, why don't you play us a song? We'll make this a music heavy episode.
Let's do it, man. Oh, man, I got to play this song. I'm just really feeling this dude lately. This is Portland hip hop legend, Libretto. You might know him from his work in the early 2000s. He came up solo and he got involved with Lifesavers, and he did a lot of stuff with them. And then he went to jail for a while, and he came back, and he's really on that, like, I'm out of jail and I'm focused and I'm on my shit right now. And he's just been producing all kinds of stuff. And this is, I think he's got a new album coming out really soon. He's been performing all over town again. So keep your eye out for this dude.
Cool.
And this is off of his last album. Here we go. I'm so slow at finding stuff. It's called Gangsta Jazz. This is volume 2. Gangsta Jazz volume 2. This is a track called Headhunters featuring another one of my favorite Portland rappers and producers, Theory Has It.
MC start duck. When I start head hunting over drumming, horns blowing, ten of madness, looking at the people through my Oliver glasses, bucket of pool, refresh the analog new. Showing styles, the abbey, return of the junkies who established the coup. Misfits flatten every third and fifth, diminished rhythmic flows in eighth notes, distance, what we do from you, hey, don't misconstrue. The venue's an igloo, cocker on a caribou, antlers a damaging amateur, live on Hulu, subscribe on YouTube, sponsored by Hip Hop Office, DJs and B-boys, graffiti artists who like to bomb the targets. Big girl centerfolds, pearl of the pinnacle. Messages who bless the earth and the harvest. Attack, attack, look, it's them headhunters, it's them headhunters. Attack, attack, MCs, you don't want it with us, you don't want it with us. Attack, attack, look, it's them headhunters, it's them headhunters. Attack, attack, hip hop is back, nigga, how about that?
Hey, yo. Black Tom Sawyer, Benjamin Banneker, I make time for you. Show love or ride for you. But if you diss, yo, I got a rhyme for you. So if the shoe fits, you better sell it. Overzealous zealots tripping off my propellers. No matter my demeanor, I'm fly. I'm dope boy with the heat and the rot. Your boy swell like the son of Jarrell. I won't fail. My style, you can't jack it, so ride the coattail. Bad as L with the Kango and radio. You got as relevant as the Warren Beatty role. Theory has a crazy flow, and everybody from your rivals to your lady know. My skin color make the cops nervous. I spit left field to make crop circles.
Attack, attack, look, it's them headhunters, it's them headhunters. Attack, attack, MCs, you don't want it with us, you don't want it with us. Attack, attack, look, it's them headhunters, it's them headhunters. Attack, attack, hip hop is back, nigga, how about that? My light shines in darkness,
daughters can't comprehend it. They lose direction and balance, their eyes squint. Kids pretend that layers of gimmicks, a false image. Their vision is blurred like men with a life sentence. I denounce you lazy bird slouch, germ mouse, claiming you hustle, still struggle with a quarter ounce. Sipping Guinness, stout, I plot your finish. Shout to all my people in the housing tenements. Project tennis, this is project business. Underachievers gotta get over, bear witness. How we deliver it, diminish. Prison walls, balls, and barbed wire fences. Yeah. Kinda senseless since the spirit's infinite. Uh-huh. Separate mind from body, quality, magnificent. I be on some niggerish at times. Right. I slip into a coma, all I know is divine, attack, attack. Look, it's them headhunters, attack, attack. MCs, you don't want it with us, you don't want it with us. Attack, attack. Look, it's them headhunters, attack, attack. Hip hop is back, nigga. How about that?
So, guys, you said earlier just like the time that you're kicking it on tour, you're talking about music. Well, I'm wondering what like the what's the biggest like conversation thread about music that happens in the tour band among you three? Like, what's the biggest musical argument you guys engage in?
Oh, well, the only argument is how tight Capadonna is or not.
Oh, yeah. Does Capadonna get Wu-Tang credentials or is he excommunicated?
Oh, no, I think he's back in the mix. From okay. You're talking about when he it was like the his manager was revealed
he got kicked
to be
out back in the day, right?
Sort of, yeah. His manager was like an FBI informant, and I think they just didn't know what was going on, so they let him go for a while. But now he's back in the mix.
Being like a really big Wu-Tang fan, when Capadonna's album came out, I was so ready for that shit. Because of his verses on the Raekwon stuff and the Ghostface shit.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, Capadonna's the next thing. And I was very let down by it.
Oh.
Very disappointed.
Well, see, okay.
So you're breaking a tie here in the van.
Well, right. There was a, in Baltimore, there's like some, like a charity event that our, Easy Jackson, who was here.
Right.
Yeah.
A few years ago. He put on a, like a charity event where we were all Wu-Tang for the night, you know, like each guy played a member and we did a whole set as Wu-Tang.
Nice. Who are you?
I was Capadonna.
Oh, you were Capadonna.
Which is what I picked, but like when Donovan heard that, he was like, "Oh man, they made you Capadonna."
I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Yeah. And like and I was like, "What are you talking about?" And like I start realizing he really wasn't feeling Capadonna, and I was like, we got to give The Pillage a listen real quick.
Yeah,
and, The Pillage. And
oh, man. What was your favorite Wu-Tang album? Solo. Solo album.
Supreme Clientele.
Supreme Clientele?
Yeah,
nice.
Definitely.
It's very good. I got to go with Liquid Swords. That's the one I listened to the hardest.
Thank you. That's my favorite.
He said the same, yeah.
Liquid Swords, Jizza.
The Jizza. It's really good. Yeah. Also, though, close second, Old Dirty Bastard, Brooklyn Zoo. Mm. I love that album. Yeah. I listened to that really hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of them. I was just really disappointed. I loved Inspector Deck. He was my favorite on all the verses, like all the posse cuts. Mm. Inspector Deck verses were so good.
Yeah.
But he never really delivered on a solo album.
Yeah, they were okay. They just weren't like bananas.
He had the coolest name. He was Raleigh Fingers.
Was sick. See, I'm saying with Inspector Deck, for example, I feel like he would be the standout guy in any other crew.
Yeah.
I just feel like they were all so interesting.
Him and U-God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like if Inspect the Deck or U-God. Well, I mean, U-God's high on the list for me. But with Inspect the Deck, if he was in any other like New York 90s group, it would be like, that's the guy that can really rhyme.
Yeah.
But The Pillage didn't really hold up, I have to admit, when we played it. I forgot there was like 7 whack beats on there.
Yeah. It's like Bobby Digital.
Hmm.
Do you guys have strong feelings on Bobby Digital?
I feel like returning to it years later, I was like, kind of at a loss, almost like it didn't hold up. But I feel like
I loved it at the time.
Yeah, I feel like people give it shit, or like did when it came out. Yeah. I feel like it wasn't received well. But
yeah, the RZA had that. He had an alternate identity, Bobby Digital, and he did this crazy album.
Yeah,
I like the was it called Digital Bullet? The second Bobby Digital.
Oh, I didn't really listen to that one.
That was
I know what you're
too,
talking about.
Yeah, but it's been a while since I've checked him out.
Yeah.
Do you guys, like, if someone asks you what your favorite hip-hop album is, no restrictions, do you have an answer? Do you have, like, a go-to for a favorite?
Well, I sometimes say that my favorite hip-hop group is Cold Crush Brothers because I'm so psyched on them. And not even on their album, but just, you know, it's more about, like, just checking out these live, like, tapes of them and stuff like that. Because they just get me fired up on a whole other level, you know. But that's not an album, really.
Yeah,
I think it's close enough. Yeah,
that's so cool to like. I feel like the early dudes get overlooked when this like topic comes up, and I think like to mention that is just awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I have like a singular album, but like. I don't know. I definitely have been influenced and just like really spent time with like Tribe and De La, Gangstar Foundation, and like the Roots being from Philly, like Black Thought. Yeah.
For an altogether hip hop album, I think I gotta go with Aquemini, just because I heard that a lot when it came out, and that was really, really good. But you know, an album that I spent a lot of time with was a cassette of LL Cool J Radio. That was in my car for years, and man, that's really good.
Yeah,
that's like when he was at his finest, in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel it. I don't know if I have. I mean, I have one. I feel like when posing that question, I was just talking about it. That like sometimes when you're asked such a specific, like, "What's your favorite? Like, what's your favorite album? What's your favorite song? What's your favorite hip hop album?"
Right.
And then I would just start thinking, like, I don't know if I've ever listened to hip hop. Like, I couldn't. Like, it's like so hard. I've listened to so much good stuff. It's hard. I forget all of it. Yeah. I feel like the first when you asked that, I'm just thinking. I was like, the first thought that came to me was like Tougher Than Leather. Like, I just like really dig that album. But as far as like, there was a very important album that I remember when I was like starting writing. Like, I started as like a like. I was writing like horrorcore shit when I was like in my teen. That was my teen angst.
Listening
like
to a lot of Esham.
Oh, dude, we've been listening to a lot of Esham in the van mix. There's a lot of Nodus and like Necro. Like I'm saying, like
super Detroit horrorcore. Nice.
Shouts to Bedlam, Stag Nasty Wastelands. but I mean, like when I was like that was like my teen angst. I didn't get in fights and shit. I was just like I was writing these whatever. And so there was a group called Level Jumpers that really the first album Simply Complex like kind of blew my mind because. It started if we go back to House of Crazies, which was like Twisted and the ROC. Twisted left to be Twisted on Psychopathic. Mm-hmm. ROC did one more album under House of Crazies with Scraps. And they were the last House of Crazies album with them. Then they transitioned into being the group Halfbreed. Similar horrorcore shit. But like Scraps was very lyrical and I really dug that. Then they added another dude and became Level Jumpers. And they were calling it like purified hip hop. And I'm used to these dudes talking about the most violent, wild shit. And then this album was like what I would learn to be like what hip hop could be. I think I started writing as like a separate entity of myself. And then I realized it should be more of an extension of myself. And that was the transition. And that album really helped me figure that out. Cause I heard these dudes from like crazy, the noise that comes with like horrorcore versus like something very like, I don't know. It was just like a complete 180 from what I was expecting. And it was Freeze, Scraps, and he went, ROC became Soul for that stuff. Level Jumper, Simply Complex.
That's awesome.
I love it, man. That's an amazing story.
Down.
It's also like a comic book. That you just laid out for us.
Basically. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
There's a lot of levels and stories just to get to that one piece of impactful art. I feel like hip-hop has that going in a way that rock music doesn't. Like, you can always hear a rock band that sounds like another rock band. It's kind of a one-to-one thing. I feel like there's a depth of, like, a generational depth to hip-hop that you can tie those things together. And people change. It's like a more permeable space for people to do something different or be someone different. And following that thread, I think, is unique to hip-hop from other music.
Yeah, I think hip-hop is so generational.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, I teach with kids, like, in from middle school to high school, and what they think of as hip hop, I might be like, what is this fucking trash you're listening to? But then they would listen to the same shit I listen to, but like, what is, like, I don't, like, they wouldn't understand, they wouldn't appreciate it. I mean, obviously not everybody, but I mean, do you feel that way?
Yeah, I think so. I do think it's, there's a thing with rock where, like, being a band that sounds like Black Sabbath or something has never not been in vogue. Like,
right, that's true.
Like, it's always fine to just sound like that.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Where with rap, it's a little bit like, what are you doing?
You're like, rapping like Black Sabbath.
What'd you say?
You just rap like Black Sabbath. I think that's the trick.
We're trying.
That's the.
But no, like I think with rap, there's a little more of a thing. Like, there's a little more of an awareness of like the time, and like you gotta like factor in what's going on around you to what you do.
Yeah. That's true. It's sort of always remained like a new genre.
Yeah.
And so the premium is placed on moving and keeping it fresh.
Yeah.
Whereas rock always is like referring to itself. Every iteration. Right, no one's ever really breaking new ground in rock music by design, whereas hip-hop, that's sort of the definition of being creative, is taking things one step further.
Until now.
Well, it could be time for we could have, like, classic rap now. It's an old enough genre where, like, people could be, like, doing, like, a like homage or, like, a pastiche of something from, like, 1987 something.
Some
Curtis Blow reenactments.
Right. Do you ever listen to those radio stations? There was one in Philly for a while, and there's I know there's one in like California where it's like like classic rap station basically. Yeah. And it's just old school. They play like Salt and Pepper and like basically like hits from when we were younger.
In Portland and I think syndicated probably a lot of cities at lunchtime, we get the Sir Mix-a-Lot Hour where he mixes.
Oh, nice.
Like all his favorite cuts from like old school to through the 90s.
He's like
newer.
The Sammy Hagar of hip hop.
Yeah, and sometimes he'll break it down and give you the history of a track, and he's good.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Seattle thing, yeah, because he's a Seattle, thing. Seattle guy.
And we get it in Portland. I think they had syndicated a lot of places.
Yeah.
107.5 from noon to one.
That's awesome.
Well, I think this has really whet my appetite for a jam. So what's something else you guys want to play? I love you got something?
Is your appetite real wet, Drew?
Oh, man.
Just dripping. Wet. My maw. Wet. Fill my maw with
my
juicy
drooling
tunes.
Maw. Yeah, my wet appetite.
I feel like my favorite track that we've been doing on tour has to be 500, which is off of Computer Rocker. It's just, I just like connect with this beat so hard, and then it's like a nice little call and response you can kind of do with the crowd, but like it's not annoying, it's not over the top like call and responses can be. It's like just enough and it just knocks. So
that's what I like to do in our live shows. I just like to do call and response podcasting. It hasn't really worked yet. Mostly I just get a lot of like
and the recording you can hear like one in the back, like a real distant
I think that was
someone
my
from
mom.
The bar just yeah, just like some ambient noise.
They were yelling at something else.
Yeah, it's like one hand clapping. It's it's not much.
Someone on the couch outside.
Well, let's check it out. It's called 500.
Yep.
Get busy, ginger ale with the well whiskeys, got me in the groove, chest pound. down until his brews packed up, shut it down, lights out, see you soon. 500. Eyes remain focused, whether or not tastemakers take notice. 500.
I feel like I'm never quick enough to get to Shazam. Like, I'll be in like a CVS or something and I'll hear like the last 8 seconds. I can't capture in time.
By the time I pull it out and have looked at it enough to read it, I've already crashed my car.
Yeah. Doesn't have enough time. So it's like trying to track anymore. It's like trying to trace a phone call. You gotta keep it on the line for like 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Does Star 6-9 work anymore?
In theory, I think it does, but you have to call from like a landline. So effectively
you can't do it from a cell phone.
I actually don't know. A cell phone just records where the number's from, right? Or can you get a block number?
I've seen some block numbers. Yeah. My doctor's number is blocked. It's kind of disconcerting.
That's what we call a doc block.
Yeah, I got doc blocked.
I'll see myself out. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, man. Nice. There we go. Name of the episode. That's gold. So if you guys think, okay, you got 3 months of living and breathing music. Like, what, as creators, like strictly from a creative point of view, what do you hope comes out of that experience?
I mean, it's just all making connections with people that last, you know? And like, you know, obviously like on these like DIY tours, like, of course you run into a ton of people that will never think about you or your music again, like 5 seconds after the set is over. But within that, there's people that, you know, you will maybe know for the rest of your life or something. And like, I guess that's what we're looking for, is just to keep building these kind of connections, you know? And like, and you know, we're all like putting stuff out as one label now, Cold Rhymes Records. And it's kind of, it's about that too. Like pushing these releases we're making in this DIY way as far as they can go through just playing as many shows as we can, you know?
Man, I love that. I love the whole ethos behind that. It's just like, I always think of music personally as something like, I'm never ever going to be famous or like traditionally successful at. It's like, put that off the table. Like, how far can this hobby, it's like a hobby, how far can I take it? Mm-hmm. And why would I stop myself if I have an opportunity to take it just a little bit further? So it's which is exactly what you guys are doing. Like, you're at a point where you can do this. You can go across the country for 3 months and reach a ton of people. And that's a pretty special place to be. And you can record music and release it and under a label. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
And you can try all the candy.
Yeah.
Nation of candy right at your fingertips. It's a pretty amazing place to be.
How you guys feel about gummies, though?
I love them.
I'm a big fan, too.
Gummies. I feel like that's Mister's bag. I feel like you're a gummy man, aren't you?
I like the sour gummies.
Sour gummies. Big fan. Those are great until you eat like a whole bag of them and they rip off the top of your mouth.
Yeah, or like the side. You just like everything. It's a little too much. Yeah.
But they are my favorite too.
I was saying the other day that my friend and I, we had this thing where we decided for this one specific day we were gonna like eat all the exact same foods, drink the same drinks, smoke the same cigarettes. It was like the only time I ever smoked in my life.
And then compare shits afterward.
Just for this experiment.
But yeah, he had to bail out when I like got like a huge, in the middle of the night, I got like a huge black coffee and like a big bag of gummy worms. And like, he was like, man, I can't do this.
That's where I draw the line. Those late night gummy worms and espresso shots. My guts can't handle it. Yeah. I feel you. That's a delicious a combo. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. I like a little savory with, or a little sweet with my coffee. In gummy worm form. How do you guys feel about other gummies? My favorites are the gummy sharks.
Oh,
I know, can see the blue and white ones.
Yeah,
you can definitely eat them in kind of two pieces sometimes. A little bit. It's pretty great.
I'm a Peachios fan.
Oh, yeah, I like a Peachio. Yeah,
I like the little like a gummy peach.
Covered
in sugar, you know, mm-hmm.
like the fizzy colas.
Yes, yeah, those are really good.
I had some really good ones. Past like we did a show in France last summer, and we did. They had these. They had all the Haribo that you. I didn't.
Well, that's all I'm talking about. Any other gummy thing is garbage crap. Trolley can suck my dick.
No, Trolley is where it's at.
No.
Haribo, the last time I got a bag of that at the Goodwill here in Portland, mm-hmm. I ate it and I vomited like an hour later.
You got gummies from a thrift store?
You bought gummies from Goodwill?
Yeah, the bag was open and half empty. But it was like 45 cents. So I was like, okay, all right.
They have like
a near the counter. They have like a little mini convenience store. This is like the big Goodwill. The big one, the fanciest one. It's the one at the top, and we have like the bins at the bottom. We're right at the top here.
Well, the Haribo in France that I really enjoyed was fizzy cola, but it was Orangina.
Is it Orangina or in a liter bottle?
I hope Orangina, because I feel like.
Do you think it's Orangina? I've always been saying
when
Orangina.
I was in Europe and like we were drinking it. I think we did call it Orangina.
Huh? Aranchata, isn't that how you say?
Orchata?
Not to be confused with horchata.
Yeah.
But isn't it like aranchata, I think. Like
it's like Italian, never add right? that. I'm just like, it's very like, Orangina. That's how I.
But if you're in Philly, it's like, give me an orange drink.
Yeah. There you go. So it's the orange drink Haribo that I'm a big fan of. You can get
that sounds incredible. Yeah.
Man, orange, if they call it that, I would buy it. That would be my
I'll send you I'll tweet you the link to buy a big box of it.
There's a company in the Plaid Pantry universe, on their packaging, it says the best gummy in the world. And I call bullshit on you, Amber Gleese, or whatever the fuck your name
it's
is.
It's a major claim to say you're your gummy bears aren't world. That.
It's ballsy. Know. You're inviting criticism.
Yeah. Mm. And they cost twice as much as
I would always say in my package, the best gummy you'll eat today.
Yeah.
Because chances are you can keep that promise.
Ooh, that's real nice. Because then it's like promise. That's like a major, still a major guarantee, but it's actually pretty plausible.
You're gonna disappoint very few people with a promise like that.
That's true. Yeah.
All right, we got time for one more song. What do you guys wanna leave us with here tonight?
Can I throw a Mr. track in here?
Please do.
Yeah, cool.
We would love it.
So he was talking earlier about collaborating with different people, and it's really wild. He's put out an album called Catch Up, which is just a collection of collaborations. And now he's got Mustard, which is another collaboration collection. And you could maybe explain the origin of this particular track, but my favorite track is George.
Oh, thanks. So I started losing my hair. So I started just shaving my head bald like a couple years ago.
I gotta say for the listeners, it's a good look.
Thank you.
It's symmetrical.
It works really well for you.
It's a well proportioned head.
You know, I never because like I had dreadlocks for like 8 years, right? So
whoa,
like
really?
Yeah. So like the idea, which might be might be the reason that I
that
have this
I can't
too,
imagine.
Like I,
man, you cursed the hair off your head.
I cursed the hair off my head. I'll send a pic to that. I send you the Regina, but so. Like, I never thought I'd be the bald dude. But then, like, so, like, one day I was just, like, just in the bathroom. I didn't have a shirt on. And, like, I have more hair on my shoulders than my head at this point. And, like, I just, like, creep into the back. And I was just, like, man, I feel like George Animal Steel. And then I was just, like, and I was, like, working on this song. And I had, it was, like, a deadline for it. Uh-huh. It never was used for the compilation it was intended for. But I was just, like, listen, I couldn't figure out the beat for the life of me. And I was just, like, I feel like George Animal Steel is the song. And so like he's a Michigan dude and like and he was just sitting unreleased until he died. And I was like, well, if there's only like I didn't know what I was gonna do with the song. and then it sort of revealed itself.
Now's the time.
Yeah, and so I have, and now I have shirts of George Animal Steel that just say Mr. on them, and I feel like a lot of times, like I did the show, I was talking earlier that like I did a show for like some, like essentially like first graders, and I have these shirts of like, it just looks like an old man with a puppet that says Mr., and I'm like, I feel like a lot of people are missing, like they don't understand, so now it's like, having this song and you see George, and then if you go to like Mr.Bandcamp and you see this George shirt, it all makes sense.
Yeah full circle. Cool.
Full circle. Well,
let's check it out.
I feel like George the Animal Steel. 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 Yeah. I hope to God you're not a turnbuckle. Flash the length of my tongue. Often forgetting that this used to be fun. It's just enjoyment seemed to dull being surrounded by brawn. So far gone. Or it's possible my teeth are too long. I mull it over ice cream bars. Yes, I am him. Biting the heads off doinks and hillbilly gems. And anybody else for emphasis. A primitive nemesis. Entirely void of contemporary references. I feel like George the Animal Steel. I feel like George the Animal Steel. I feel like George the Animal Steel. George the Animal Steel. I feel like.
Well, guys, we went through a lot of haunting and a lot of work just to thank you for being on the show.
appreciate it.
It's been awesome having you on.
Thanks for having
We really appreciate you making time on the tour.
Likewise.
We really hope we see you again this time next year. Always welcome. It's been a pleasure. iLive, great to meet you, and
yes, thank you.
Good luck on the rest of the tour. Before you guys head out tonight, let everybody know how they can keep track of you in the internet world and the music world.
Yeah, you can go to my website, which is awakeinthesnakehole.com. I know that's a lot to remember, so you can just look iLive.bandcamp.com as well. All the music's there, or through the Cold Rhymes Records website.
Great. Three great places to find you.
Mm-hmm. Heitkeech.com is the place.
It's an easy one.
Yeah, and then mine's heyitsmister.com, and that, similar to Heights, it has links to all the Facebook, Twitter, Spotify, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Man, I love it. You guys have it really awesome. all in a nice tight ball.
Hell yeah.
Getting that website, getting that platform.
Gotta get it.
Yeah. Oh, so easy. Everybody Lost out there, platform. Take the time, find out, seek out each of them. You'll be glad you did. And then look out for where they're at in tour, because they're on the road for the next 2.5 months, and chances are you'll have an opportunity to see them live wherever you may be. So thank you guys again. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks,
best of luck on the rest
of
the tour.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Cheers, y'all.
And thank all of you for listening to this week's episode. We are so grateful that you join us each and every week, and we hope you continue to do so. If you like what you hear, we would love it if you told a friend, family member, all about us. I think we'd be happy to introduce ourselves to some new folks. And if you want to introduce yourself to us, you can do so via email at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. That's haute garbagepodcast@gmail. Andy, it's that showcase spot.
And if you want to stick your juicy maw full of sexy internet pictures, well, I don't know if they're sexy, weird pictures, you can find us at hurtgarbish on Instagram. Holla at me.
Mm-hmm. They're not sexy. Let's be very clear.
No, they're
it's
not.
It's not sexy, they're but not. Definitely worth a look.
Oh, man, and we've come to the end of the show where only the true subscribers are allowed to listen. If this is your first listen, well, no, keep listening.
But, our Patreon premium listeners.
Yeah, but for real, this is the heater. This is a fucking Portland band that you need to be listening to called Blackwater Holy Light. This is a good, they're kind of like a psych band that it's got nice touches of doom and like heavier guitar work and stuff. But mostly it's just like fucking good shit. So
yeah,
open up your heart and let this one in. This is called Sunrise off of their new self-titled release, Blackwater Holy Light.